True leadership emerges not from our strengths, but from our weaknesses, a counterintuitive truth that challenges everything our culture celebrates. In a world obsessed with projecting confidence and hiding vulnerability, this perspective offers a refreshing alternative aligned with ancient wisdom. Power is made perfect in weakness. When we examine history's most influential leaders, we often find not the strongest or most charismatic individuals, but those who embraced their limitations and found strength beyond themselves. This paradox speaks to something fundamental about human nature. Our deepest connections form not when we project perfection, but when we acknowledge our shared humanity. As leadership failures regularly make headlines, perhaps what we need isn't more polished exteriors, but leaders courageous enough to be authentically imperfect. Sometimes life's greatest gift is having your dream job given to you and then taken away. Scott Sauls discovered this when, after being groomed as Tim Keller's potential successor at Redeemer Presbyterian Church, plans changed and he resigned within a year. This apparent catastrophe revealed his heart wasn't fully surrendered. Like hot water drawing flavor from tea, disappointment exposed the ambition lurking within, idols of success and self-importance that had quietly taken root. What if our failures aren't punishments, but revelations of what we truly worship? When career becomes a broken cistern we depend on for love and approval, we lose our way. As C.S. Lewis noted, aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you will get neither. Tennessee Williams described his catastrophe of success after his Broadway triumph left him walking around dead in my shoes, confirming what many discover: earthly achievements cannot sustain us. The question isn't whether dreams will crumble, but what those moments reveal about what we truly value. The Bible honestly portrays human frailty. Abraham's lies, Jacob's deception, and David's adultery and murder. Church history continues this pattern with deeply flawed leaders. These accounts both encourage us by showing hope for the flawed and warn us to guard our hearts. Leaders become most vulnerable precisely when they feel invulnerable. Sin typically starts small but grows uncontrollably if not confronted. David's moral collapse with Bathsheba began with seemingly minor compromises. Staying home while his men fought, taking afternoon naps, gradually developing entitlement. This magisterial self-pity leads many leaders to view themselves as victims deserving special treatment rather than servants. Leadership brings unique pressures, causing dangerous isolation. Leaders experience higher rates of anxiety and depression due to intense pressure, unrealistic expectations, criticism, insufficient rest, and unhealthy comparison. Isolation distorts perception. When we withdraw from authentic community, small compromises can grow into catastrophic moral failures. The solution is intentional vulnerability with trusted friends who speak hard truth into our lives before we self-destruct. Criticism is inevitable in leadership. While feedback about blind spots can be valuable, most of us struggle with unfair criticism. When leaders defensively wrestle with pigs, both get dirty, but only the pig enjoys it. Fighting back can condition us to reject all criticism, even the valuable insights. Each person contains potential for both great good and exceptional evil. Paul acknowledged this duality in Romans 7, lamenting that he did the evil he hated rather than the good he desired. We need honest voices to help us see our blind spots. David exemplifies good leadership by humbly accepting Nathan's rebuke after his sin with Bathsheba. As Elbert Hubbard noted, the final proof of greatness lies in being able to endure criticism without resentment. What if we welcomed soul examination as readily as medical examinations? Scripture affirms, "Let a righteous man strike me, it is a kindness," and "faithful are the wounds of a friend." Churchill observed that criticism functions like pain, signaling something unhealthy. Even unfair criticism offers growth opportunities. When Shimei cursed David, he responded with humility rather than retaliation. True leadership values character over saving face. Envy corrupts our hearts, making us rejoice at others' sorrows and grieve at their joys, the opposite of love. Rooted in pride, it drives us to elevate ourselves above others. King Saul exemplifies this. When women praised David's greater victories, Saul grew jealous and plotted against him rather than celebrating their collective success. Leaders particularly struggle with comparison. A pastor with 3,000 members envies one with 5,000, just as a pastor of 50 might envy one with 70. Bertrand Russell observed that envy sees things never in themselves, but only in their relations, creating an endless chain where even the successful envy others. Instagram star Asena O'Neill, despite 500,000 followers and financial success, quit social media, calling it a snowballing addiction to being liked that left her miserable, confirming the emptiness of recognition chasing. The contrast between Saul and Jonathan reveals two responses to others' success. Saul tried eliminating David to protect his status, while Jonathan surrendered his position to exalt David. Jonathan found greatness in humility. Saul diminished himself through status clinging. Which path will we choose? Even the most accomplished individuals experience profound inner conflict. Madonna admitted a horrible fear of being mediocre despite decades of success. A renowned musician confided feeling the loneliest person in the room while surrounded by fans. These confessions reveal a universal truth. Our hearts remain restless until finding security beyond achievement. This deep-seated insecurity isn't something to eliminate, but to embrace. It drives us to recognize we cannot sustain ourselves. Like kintsugi, the Japanese art of repairing pottery with gold, acknowledging brokenness can become our greatest strength. The most effective leaders function faithfully despite self-doubt, recognizing that limitations create space for something greater to work through them. As Paul wrote, "When I am weak, then I am strong." Not because weakness is the goal, but because acknowledged weakness enables true strength. Leaders like Eugene Peterson and Henri Nouwen found their greatest impact flowed from acknowledged weaknesses. What might change if we stopped trying to overcome insecurities and instead allowed them to deepen our dependence? In our divided society, hostility dominates discourse. As leaders facing environments hostile to our beliefs, we must remember, do not fear, for we are not alone. And do not hate, for our true enemy is not flesh and blood. The more we understand how loved and forgiven we are, the less offended and more loving we become, even toward opponents. History's greatest impact often came from life-giving, love-driven minorities, not positions of power. In the Good Samaritan parable, Jesus made the hero someone his audience considered an enemy, challenging us to think differently when treated as enemies ourselves. Rather than declaring what we're against, we should champion what we're for, embodying compelling ethics that make skeptics reconsider assumptions. True love maintains conviction while showing compassion to those who disagree. Early Christians transformed Rome not through political power, but by caring for dying Romans during plagues, often sacrificing their own lives. Their sacrificial love, not righteous demands, changed an empire.